Good morning. Thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here this morning. I feel very blessed already by the service and feel like the Lord has given me something, and I trust we all have. I've got a thought that I'd like to present this morning. I feel like the Lord's been talking to me about, I'm going to write some words on the board. I feel like that the Lord has kind of prepared the way for these thoughts by the Sunday school lesson and some of the songs, at least one of the songs that was sung. I'd like to direct our attention to Philippians 4 and 19. It says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And I just think of all the scriptures that talk about the things that belong to God that we as people need. We come into this world, we live, we come to him as very needy creatures. We need lots of things. We need wisdom, and we need direction. We need healing, both in our souls and in our bodies. We need our hearts healed sometimes. Jesus said, "I came to bind up the brokenhearted." We heard about a lot of that this morning already. We have financial needs, temporal needs. We have physical needs. We have emotional needs. But Paul said in Philippians 4 and 19, "My God shall supply all your need." That means that he wants to come, and whatever that there is, that there's a lack, God is there and he wants to supply it. There are times that we don't receive the supply for the need that we have. And we're going to examine some of the things that keep us from getting that. But God did not intend for us to be perpetually needy creatures that never get our needs met. He came to supply for our needs. Jesus said, "The devil doesn't come for anything but to steal and to kill and to destroy." That's what he's here for. He is there to generate needs in us. He is there to create light, to make us empty, broken, suffering, dead. And Jesus said, in contrast to that, "I came that you might have life and that you might have abundant life." Not just a miserable existence where we just grope through the darkness from day to day, but where we have an abundant life in Jesus Christ. That's what he came to bring to us. And I was thinking about all the different kinds of needs that people have and can have. And I want to read a little bit about Gideon this morning. I feel like this message is in kind of two parts, and I'd like to bring both parts of them this morning if it's possible. I don't know if we'll have the time or not. But in Judges, the sixth chapter, Gideon had he had a desire to serve the Lord. And the Lord came to him and said, "I want to use you to conquer the Midianites." Okay, it's a real familiar story. We're not going to read it all, but there are, I believe, 121,000 Midianites, if I have that number right. 121,000 Midianites, and they were camped in the valley. And they were very oppressive of Israel. Israel had gone into sin. God never intended for Israel to be like that. He said, "I want you to conquer all the land that you see before you. Everywhere the sole of your foot is going to tread on, you're going to have possession of that land." Well, Israel did not really have possession of their own land. The Midianites were oppressing them. Gideon, when the angel found him, he was threshing wheat behind some stuff. He was hiding it from the Midianites because the Midianites wouldn't really let them do that stuff. I don't know if they had some real heavy tribute that was levied on them or what, but they were very oppressive of them. And so God said, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And then, you know what? Gideon had some needs. He had some things that he needed that God, and God knew it, and God knows what needs we have. The Lord said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That upbraideth not, or he doesn't chide you for not having it. And it's because he created you the way that you are. He created you without the wisdom. He wants you to get it from him. Gideon had some needs too. Gideon said to God in Judges 6 and 36, we'll do a little bit of reading here, and I appreciate your prayers this morning. I need them. It's my prayer that every one of us will go home with something, with some of their needs met this morning. Gideon said in Judges 6 and 36, Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. Now, I don't know what you would call this, if you would say Gideon had not much faith, or he was timid, or what was it, but I don't really put him in those categories. I feel like that Gideon was reaching out to God as much as he could, but he really, he hadn't maybe developed his faith yet, and that's okay. We have a journey, every one of us has a journey of faith, and the Lord wants to develop our faith. He knows where we start out, and the Lord knew where Gideon was. And it was absolutely okay for Gideon to say, you know what? I want to know this is what your will is. You know that every one of us need to know. The scripture says, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We need to understand before we just charge ahead and go do things, big or small, for the Lord. We need to know that the Lord's in it. Because that's where the blessing really is. That's where the victory is. And so Gideon, he said, you know what? Hold on, before I get into this, I want to know that you're going to save Israel by my hand. So I'm going to put a fleece out. And that scripture, that this has kind of become a figure of speech in our Christian, in the Christian world, will say, oh, I'm going to put a fleece out. I've heard that many times. Well, so God said, okay, I'm going to do that. And so he put the fleece out, and in the morning, the ground was dry and the fleece was wet. Well, then guess what? It doesn't really say exactly what his thought process was, but I can just imagine the way his thoughts were going. You know what? The ground is dirt, and it's probably absorbed. It's possible that it absorbed the dew. I want to make sure that this is not something that would have naturally occurred anyway. Of course, the wool would absorb the dew and be wet for maybe several hours after the ground dried. Well, I got up too late, so maybe if I would have got up earlier, the ground would have still been wet, but the fleece is still wet. So I'm going to do it the opposite. Lord, be not angry with me. He said, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. In Judges 6 and 39, let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on the ground. Gideon had a mission to fulfill, but in that there were some things that he needed to be able to fulfill his mission. And God provided for that. He gave him confidence, he gave him courage, he gave him everything that he needed. Well, so Gideon did what anybody would do. He assembled an army. And when he got done, he had, what did he have? He had 32,000 men. Well, Gideon needed some things at that point, didn't he? Well, just looking on the surface, you'd say, well, Midianites have 121,000 men. Gideon has some needs. He needs more men. He needs maybe some more highly trained men. Well, God doesn't see as man sees. So in Judges 7 and 9, this is after, okay, I'm jumping ahead a little bit. I want to go back just a little bit. We're not going to read all of this. But Gideon, God said, you've got too many people. You don't need all these people. I can save you with a lot fewer. And you know, he could have saved all of Israel with just Gideon by himself. That's not what the way he chose to do it. I don't know all the reasons why, but he said, okay, everybody that's afraid, let him go home. So 22,000 men went home. And then the Lord said, you still got too many people. See, a lot of times we look at the situation and we figure out what we think we need. And God knows that we need some things, but we need something totally different. Gideon needed some more courage and some more faith in God. And that's really what every one of us need. God is wanting to do some really big things for your life and mine. And a lot of times the only thing that's holding us back is faith, believing that He can do it, and the courage to step out and follow His direction. And sometimes we just don't have it. We don't have it. We don't have what we need. You know that God knows that? And so he said in 7 and 9 of Judges, the Lord said unto him, arise, it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. Go down to the enemy camp and look at them. Well, that would be, a lot of times, it seems like on the surface of that would be exactly the wrong thing to do. Well, I might get caught. If I'm not caught, then I might be so discouraged by the size of what's there that my heart's going to fail me and I'm not going to go. He said, no, I want you to go down there. He said, if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah, thy servant, down to the host. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shall thy hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Phurah, his servant. So he was a little bit afraid. And you can read in this whole story how he had some fear. Do you know that fear is not necessarily wrong? God knows the needs that we have. And He knows when we don't have what it takes. We never have what it takes. God always supplies the lack. What He wants us, what He expects us to do, is that when He supplies whatever is lacking, for us to take it by faith and go with courage and say, yes, this will work. And sometimes we have to step out and do some things. So he went down, and the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number for as the sand by the seaside for multitude. When Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream. And lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came into a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it that the tent lay along. Then his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And this was after the Lord had trimmed down his army. He had 300 men. He went back, and it would not matter. It would have not mattered at that point whether he would have had 300 men, 3,000 men, or 5 men. He went back renewed in his strength with the knowledge that God had the way worked out for him. And all he had to do was step into that and say, this is what I'm going to do. Moses took a different route. Remember the story of the burning bush? And Moses came and the Lord started talking to him and said, I want to deliver Israel from the Egyptians by your hand. Same deal with Gideon, but Moses had some things that the Lord became angry with him about. Totally different than the story of Gideon. Moses had adequate proof that the Lord could do what he needed to do. So I'll just read what happened in Exodus 4 and 1. Moses said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. The Lord said unto him, what is that in thy hand? He said, a rod. Anyway, I'll paraphrase a little bit for the sake of time. But he told him to cast his rod on the ground. It became a snake. He said, well, pick it up by the tail. So he picked it up by the tail. It became a rod again. He said, put your hand inside your garment. So he did that. And his hand pulled it out. And his hand was leprous. He said, put it back. And then it was whole again. And he said, okay, there's these two signs. If they will not hearken to either of these two signs, then take of the water of the river. And this is in 4 and 9. Pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And in the 10th verse, Moses said unto the Lord. See, the Lord had given him enough. All right? And the Lord gives us enough. There are times when we have to really be careful, because the Lord will lead us into a place and say, okay, go do this. And He gives us enough to where our faith is able to take in, but we don't do it. That's called unbelief. That's what Moses, the trouble, totally different than with Gideon. Gideon's trouble was that he simply did not have what it took to do the job that he, and the Lord knew it, and the Lord met every need that he had, and Gideon was able to step into that place then. Moses had a different, Moses was a little slower. He said, oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And this is where Moses really messed up. He said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know he can speak, that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. This story really resonates with me personally, because several years ago, the Lord began to deal with me about preaching His Word. And I said, I'm not a good speaker. And I will tell you right now, I am not a good speaker. Not eloquent when I speak about something that's not preaching or whatever. And sometimes when I'm preaching, many times I get all, my thoughts get jumbled up. I'm defragmented. And I feel like people will never be helped by this. And so I felt, and Andrea started calling me Moses, because when the Lord started talking to me about preaching, I told Andrea, you know what? I can't do this. I'm not able. And she said, well, that's what Moses said too. But the Lord will supply our needs. I had to go to Kenya a few years ago. Went there. The Lord called me to go there with my father-in-law. And we went over there, and we were sitting in the middle of the service. And you know, I try to take the time to study, because I feel like the Lord wants us to do the very best that we can. But we were sitting there in the middle of the service, and the leader of the orphanage there said, and now Brother Joseph is going to go teach the young people. And he hadn't ever told me that I was going to go teach the young people. And so all the children and young people picked up a chair and headed out. And I had, from the time that I got up out of my chair till the time I walked over to the other building, that's the time I had to prepare. I didn't have anything. You know, when I was on my way over there, the Lord put a scripture in my head. And I opened the Bible, or my phone, I guess it was, over there, and I read the scripture. And the Lord gave me a thought about it. And then the Lord gave me another scripture, and I read that. And the Lord gave me another thought. And I didn't even have time to really pray much. I had been seeking the Lord for Him to give me everything I needed while I was on that trip. And the Lord gave me those thoughts, and I got done. And when I got all done with my little lesson, one of the orphanage teachers, the orphanage director, one of his sons wanted to get saved. And the Lord worked. And there were four, I had four young people's meetings over there in Kenya. And three of them were completely impromptu. I had no idea I was going to have. One of them I had a whole day in a day's notice. And you know, I felt like that the three that were impromptu went better, were more successful, that the Lord blessed them more than the one that I had the time to prepare for. Now, I don't get up here impromptu. I take time and I study and I pray and I seek the Lord, because the Lord, remember what happened when Jesus was being tempted, and the devil said, cast yourself down because the Lord will give his, it says the Lord will give his angel charge over you, and let in case you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said, it is also written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord. And so we need to be alert, and we need to study, and we need to be prepared, and we need to be ready to give. The scripture says to be ready to give an answer to anybody that comes and says, why do you do this? Instead of saying, you know what? I am going to spend my time eating cake and ice cream and going fishing because the Lord will give me what I need when I need it. That's not the way we do it. But there are many times that the Lord has supplied my need in difficult circumstances where He's woke me up early in the morning and wanted me to study. There have been times when I heard my name called and I would wake up and I knew that, and there's been times when I went back to sleep, but I've tried not to do that. And I knew that I hadn't gone to bed early, that it had been late, and I needed my sleep, and I had been working hard. You know that those times when I've got up and I've obeyed the Lord, that the Lord has given me, it's like He's put the extra rest into my body somehow. I don't know how He did it. But there's many times that has been the case. He gives us what we need. We were hearing about how the Lord helped Darren on the job the other day. I've had instances like that too. I had a time where I was having to trim out a bunch of doors. I had to put the jam on a bunch of doors, and I counted the door jams. I counted them multiple times. We were one short. And I was way up in New York. I had to get done with the job. And I called the superintendent and I said, can you help me? Let's try to figure out, strategize how we can make this work. Well, every time we spent about a half hour probably trying to figure it out. Couldn't figure it out. We were short. And so I just started putting them in. You know, I finished every last one of them. I have no idea where the material came from. I have had multiple circumstances like that where I just had just enough. And the Lord knows how to supply our needs. Think of Mary and think of Zacharias. Two stories that happened almost the same time, but two very different outcomes. To Mary, the Lord came to her and said, the angel Gabriel came to her and said, you're favored of God. Blessed art thou among women. You're going to have a son. Mary did not have any trouble with the idea that God could give her a son. She just wanted to know. It was just curiosity. How is this going to happen? I can just think of the thoughts in her mind. Lord, do you want us to get married real quick? What are you going to do? What's your plan? What do you want me to do? That was the essence of her question. What do you want me to do? And the Lord said, well, this is how it's going to happen. Probably not the answer she was expecting. But then He came to Zacharias. And He said, well, it was before that actually. He came to Zacharias about 6 months prior to that and said, you and your wife are going to have a son. And Zechariah had the audacity to say, what kind of proof are you going to give to me that this is going to happen? I'm an old man. My wife's an old woman. What are you going to show me? What kind of a sign are you going to send to me? And did you hear the response? Remember the response? He said, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I'm not some Joe off the street. I know what I'm talking about. It was almost as if he was offended. He said, do you know who I am? I'm telling you, I'm an angel. I'm a messenger. All I do is do the things God tells me to do. And God's telling me to tell you that your wife is going to have a son. I'm standing here right by the altar. You ever seen an angel stand by the altar? I haven't. That would be enough for me. Now, if I went to Walmart and somebody by the front door said, "Hey, your wife's going to have a son," I would laugh at him. Maybe not in front of him, but I would call my wife and say, "Hey, you got something to tell me?" And it'd be a joke. But this was no joke. This was something, and Zechariah, instead of accepting what the angel said, he asked for something he didn't need. All right? And that's what we need to watch out for. Now, think of Nicodemus. I'm just bringing some examples, but I want to, in just a little bit, I want to shift focus. Think of Nicodemus versus the rest of the Pharisees. They all saw the same miracles. They all heard the same words. But Nicodemus came and he had some needs too. Nicodemus really didn't know how to sort all of that out. And in the scriptures, from what I can tell, he kind of stayed in the background. He was still part, I believe, wasn't he part of the Sanhedrin? I think he was part of the Sanhedrin. And he just kind of stayed in the background. A quiet believer, didn't really, maybe peer pressure forced him to come to Jesus by night. But he came. He came. He did what he could do. And the first thing he said was, "Look, we know you're from God. We know you're from God. Not just me, but we all know you're from God. Nobody can do what you do unless God be with them. So I'm coming to you by night, Lord. And I want to hear your words. I want to hear what you have to say to me." And so Jesus gave him more than he gave all the rest of the Pharisees. The whole time he was there, he explained to him the plan of salvation. He gave him wisdom. He gave him something that he could take with him to the point where when he was dead, Nicodemus came and anointed his body with 100 pounds worth of spices. But the rest of the Pharisees, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and 7, he said, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Remember what Philippians 4:19 says? "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." The Lord has everything you need this morning. He has wisdom if you need it. He has knowledge if you need it. He has strength, power, and grace if you need it. And we all need that stuff, don't we? He said, "which God ordained before the world and our glory," the hidden wisdom, something that you're not just going to see by bumbling along, living to your own self. Nicodemus had to get past something. He had to seek and obey his inner conscience that told him that Jesus was the Son of God, instead of keeping his image, his power, everything that the Pharisees felt that they had to hold on to maintain their status. He let that go, and it, to the point where he opposed, in one instance, the rest of the Pharisees in the council that they were taking to kill Jesus. He wasn't real bold about it, but I believe that God led him and helped him. Now, the next verse says, "which none of the princes," I'm going to read this seventh verse again so it'll be more coherent. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." So the people that crucified the Lord had some very deep needs. There was some wisdom that they needed that they did not have. And does not the Lord want to supply our every need? Yes, He does. But there were some things that the Pharisees had in their mind that blocked the admittance of the light that Jesus wanted to shine to them, where instead they crucified him because there were some things that they did not have that they needed, that had they had it, they would not have done what they did. Now, I want to ask us this morning, what do we need? In Hebrews 4 and 14, I'd like to read a couple scriptures in here and in 1 Corinthians. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace, find grace to help in time of need. That is one of the most encouraging scriptures that I know of in the Bible, that whatever we need, all I have to do is go to the one that went before me without sin. He was tempted in all points as I was. Do I have affliction? He had affliction too. Have I experienced rejection or hurt? He experienced it too. Have I had temptation? Great temptation? He experienced it too. All the needs, all the sufferings, all the temptation that we have, he experienced those kind of things too. And so because he did, and because God made his son, wrapped him in flesh, and sent him here to experience those things, we can apply to him for help in any situation. We can go to him when we're tempted. Many people, when they're experiencing temptation, they have addictions, things like that, they want to run and hide, and they have shame, and they don't want to get anywhere around God. Remember what Adam and Eve did? Well, Jesus came, and it's different. We can go to him in those times and say, God, I'm in the throes of temptation. I don't know what I'm going to do. And God will send the grace to help in those times. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. This information brings great encouragement to me, but it brings something else too. It brings a sense of responsibility. In 2 Peter 3 and 14, it says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. How could you ever do something like that? We've already heard in the Old Testament how they had to sacrifice bulls and goats and things so that God would have something for their sin. There would be some sort of an atonement for their sin. We don't do that anymore. We go and we apply for forgiveness by the blood of Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ came to give more than just his shed blood for our past sins. Jesus Christ came to bring grace to help in our present need, in our present temptations, in our present struggles, in our present lacks. What do you need this morning? He came to where, if we have addictions or anything like that, Jesus Christ came to give the power to overcome those things. And that means that we don't have excuse. If we come down to the end and we've lived whatever way we wanted to live, and we have not been victorious, and we have not been able to overcome the things that beset us, because we have a high priest that has passed into the heavens, that we can immediately apply for grace to help in time of need. I'd like for us to consider the children of Israel. Before we do that, I'm just going to read a scripture in Matthew 7. Matthew 7 and 7, it says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. These are some wonderful promises, y'all. And were what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? And so, I'd like to nail this down just a little bit more, that the Lord bring help. He has the grace for us. You know, it's really not good enough for us to say, you know what? Lord help me here. I can't get in a situation like that without sinning here, without getting wrapped up in this, because you don't know my background. You don't know what the things were in my past life. You don't know how I'm damaged here and everything. You know, the Lord came to help us in whatever background we're from, and He came to supply the lacks, the needs. I like to give people a lot of room if they come and say, you know what, I failed here. We should be very forgiving in those times, because we have lacks too. And we have times where we have to go, is there anybody here that doesn't have to go back and apologize sometimes? I do. I have to go back and apologize sometimes. You know, I'm sorry. Daddy was a little too hard, and I'm sorry about that. I was a little too stern. I shouldn't have said that like that. I should have listened better. I spoke too sharply. Honey, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Those are all things that we have as people. But the Lord is able to help us to be able to rise above those things and conquer them in our lives. And I believe some of that is little by little. But I don't believe that the Lord has any kind of mind to leave us in the pit of sin where we say, you know what? The Lord's delivered me from alcohol, and so I only drink once every 3 days now. I can't seem to stay away from the bottle any longer than that. No, the Lord offers deliverance. The Lord offers deliverance. Some things in life are very addictive. There are many addictions. The Lord, I want to say that the Lord has power to overcome every addiction that there is. And he will give that to you. But there are some things that sometimes stand in the way. I want to read about the children of Israel a little bit. They were hungry. They had some needs. And the Lord knew it. But instead of coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, we understand that you have great power, but we're hungry. Can you give us something? Will you give us something? What do you want us to do? Is there anything that you want to talk to us about? Why don't we have the food that we need? Instead, they came in the 16th chapter of Exodus, and they said, in the third verse, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. And the Lord was merciful to them. He said to Moses in the next verse, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. If we go down, they said, we ate bread to the full in Egypt. And Moses said in the eighth verse, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. I just find it interesting that the Lord responded in kind to them. They said, when we were in Egypt, we ate bread to the full. And they were longing for what was back there. Well, Egypt was an Old Testament type of living in sin. That's what the bondage, the sin. And many people look back, if they have a wilderness experience, and they say, you know what? I got to do all this back there. I was fulfilled. I had this and this and this. Knowing full well that they were not. They didn't mention the beatings. They didn't mention the oppression, the tiredness, the poverty, the lack of freedom. All they could remember is that we had bread to the full. And Moses said, the Lord will also give you bread to the full. Okay? And so he started raining it. And listen to what happened in the 22nd verse. It came to pass on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, and seethe that which you will seethe, and that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up until the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. They had a need here. Do you know that the Lord said, I don't want you to work on the Sabbath day. But they were still hungry on the Sabbath day. So he said, every day, don't you leave any until tomorrow, because if you do, you'll find worms in it and it will stink. But the Sabbath day, it did not do that. God came and he met their need. We heard about miracles this morning. This whole story is the work of the all-powerful, almighty God. And it was not just some sort of nutritionless thing that he gave. He gave random bread. The scripture in Psalm says, man did eat angels' food. Well, angels are spirits. I don't know exactly what... I'll just be honest with you. I don't know exactly what that verse means. But I know that he did not give them something that was no count. It was something that was everything that they needed to be sustained. Their shoes didn't wear out. Every time they needed to go somewhere, he parted the Red Sea, parted the Jordan River. He killed their enemies. He did all this. And he rained bread from heaven. He said, you're going to eat bread to the full. But that was not the end for them. He said, I'm taking you somewhere else. I'm taking you to Canaan. Well, when we know the story of when they got to the border of Canaan. They got to the Jordan River. They sent spies over. They came back and they said, we can't take it. It's too much for us. And God, the God who had provided them with the manna, the God who had taken them over the Red Sea, was, in our human language, fed up. And he said, I'm not going to let you all go into that land. You can't go. And Paul used that in Hebrews 3 and 4 to describe to us how we, in the same way, cannot go into the real rest that the Lord has for us. A life of being filled with the Spirit of God. We call this total sanctification. It's a life consecrated to God where we are filled with His Spirit and we live by His Spirit. We cannot go with that kind of unbelief in our lives. They were in the wilderness and they were looking back to Egypt. You know what? A person that lives in the wilderness and that's where they live and that's all they can go, there is going to come a time when what the Lord gave for them, maybe in that place. The Lord did not intend for them to eat manna for 40 years, all right? He gave them that as something that they needed and it satisfied their need. But they, by their unbelief, had to stay there and eat it for a whole lot longer than God ever intended for them. And you know, God, He said, well, that's what you're going to keep eating. You know, he could have given them the leeks and the garlics. But He said, this is the situation you're in. This is the way that you chose. I'm still going to provide your needs. Your shoes are not going to wear out. And you're going to eat this manna. But you're going to eat it for a lot longer than I originally intended. Well, I just want to get this too. I started mentioning about the Sabbath day. There are many times where the Lord will call you to do something that you will feel like that there is naturally no way to accomplish it because it's not in nature for that to happen. The Lord, don't put your own needs, what you think you have to do, Don't put that ahead of doing the Lord's will. Do the things the Lord wants you to do, and He will supply the things that lack. Those people didn't have, we can't gather bread the sixth day because it'll stink the next day. No, this time the Lord is going to give it to you for 2 days. And so you prepare for that and you keep the Sabbath day. Well, we don't literally keep the Sabbath day in quite the same way, but there are things that the Lord wants from us in our lives that we need to trust Him, and He will provide the way to do it. So in Numbers, the 21st chapter, this is after that they had not been allowed to go into the Canaan land. 21st chapter in the 4th verse, it says, they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. I don't know the purpose of all of the journeyings they did in those 40 years, but I do remember when they first started out, that the Lord took them around the land of the Philistines. You know why? Because it was not in them to have the faith. He said, God said, when they see war, they're going to turn back. And so I'm going to lead them around, and we're going to go this way. And he provided for their needs that way. Well, the people, many times in our lives, God will do the same thing for us, and He will lead us around things, and He will not take us through things, but then the way that He leads us, there will be its own set of difficulties. And in those times, we just need to trust that the Lord will provide for our needs. Numbers 21 and 5, and keep in mind that this was their own doing. But they spake against God, the reason that they were there in the first place, and not in Canaan land. They spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. The light bread, the Hebrew word for light bread, it's a very scornful word. It's very contempt, a word full of contempt. It's something, I despise this. It's something, it's not worth anything. It doesn't have any nutrition in it. It doesn't have what I need. You know, the Lord, when He gave that man, I've always wanted to know what that manna was, what it tasted like, what it had in it. God said in Exodus that it tasted like wafers made with honey. It didn't taste like, you ever had poi? Poi is a Hawaiian food, and there is no flavor at all. It didn't taste like that. It tasted like wafers with honey, as if the Lord smiled when He made it and said, I want this to be not just nutritive, but good to the taste. But they got to where there's a difference between a need and, well, a lust is what this talks about. Psalms 106 and 9 says, He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So He led them through the depths as through the wilderness, and He saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not a one of them left. Then believed they His words. They sang His praise. They soon forgot His works. They waited not for His counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. Now I want you to listen to this. It says, then He gave them their request. When they said, our soul loatheth this light bread, He sent them the quails. You're going to eat this for a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils. It says that He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. And it was because that it was over and above what they needed. It was not, and I'm not trying to say this morning that God only wants us to have what we have to survive. It's bread and water, and we don't have anything else, and we can't have any fun. That's not what I'm trying to say. But the Lord provides us an abundant life, and He has things for us. But when we go outside of that, and we desire food and things, spiritual food that is not good for our soul, but rather puffs, it's fleshly. It was flesh. back. He gave them flesh to eat. We heard this. Brother Marvin gave us an excellent message about this a few weeks ago, and I just want to tie into it a little and recap a little of what he said. It said that he gave them their request. He gave them what they needed. He gave them more than the manna. But at the same time, it says that he sent leanness into their soul. And that is one of the most frightening things to me, is for my soul to be lean, where I really don't even want the things, the good things. Do you know that the Lord, in that manna, the Lord had everything that they needed? It was everything their body needed to survive and to thrive. And it was good for them. It sustained them. Now, in Isaiah 55, it says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore, or why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." We sang a while ago, number 45, it says, "No good thing will he withhold." That's a quote from Psalms 84 and 11. It says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." Psalms 34 and 10 says, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." When they were in the wilderness, the children of Israel, and they got to complaining about their situation, the whole thing was because that they didn't have the faith to believe that God could take them into the land that was flowing with milk and honey. In Matthew 5 and 6, it says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." That word "filled" means satisfied. Though people that hunger, and everybody hungers and thirsts, because everybody has needs. Everybody has voids that they need something to fill, but people go after all kinds of things to fill those things. The only ones that are going to be satisfied in life are people that say, "I want the Lord's way." The story of the conquest of Canaan is an Old Testament type of total consecration to God and His way. Only when we have that can we have the milk and the honey and all the things that satisfy. If we live an experience where we're hungry and thirsty, but the things that we use to satisfy us are all the fleshly things, all the fleshly appetites, that's what our fulfillment is. "Well, I feel depressed, so I'm going to go and do this and that, and I'm going to fill my life with this type of music and this type of food, and I'm going to do this." And instead, many times, all we need to do is get down and seek the Lord, and He will give us what we need. "Blessed are they which thirst after righteous hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." What that means is that those people will have all their needs supplied, where they have a full, satisfied, abundant life in Jesus Christ. I would like to encourage us this morning to satisfy ourselves with the righteousness of God. Seek His way. Say, "Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to give up? Lord, how can I work for you today?" Those kind of things, spending our time and our focus, putting our focus on God in His way, will fulfill us completely. It'll satisfy all of the desires, the longings. Psalms 37, it says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Do you know that many times we don't even know what our needs are? We don't know what our desires are. People go and they'll do all kinds of things to their bodies, and they'll do just, you see it, and sometimes you look at something like that and say, "Well, that's weird." You know what it is? It's people trying to have the void in their hearts satisfied. But it doesn't work, because it's not bread. It doesn't satisfy. It's not righteousness. They're not going after the righteousness of God. They're looking for things in themselves that will satisfy themselves. They're looking for flesh to eat. But God said, if you will satisfy yourself, or if you will long after my righteousness, I will fill you up. Not with just righteousness, but happiness and peace and joy and the milk and the honey and all that. May the Lord help us today. I believe that's all the Lord's given me. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The Lord will supply all your riches, all your need according to His riches in glory. You pray for me.